I bet you've had this experience before. You're looking through a resource, or you're sitting in a workshop, or you're just thinking about different activities you could do with your kids in your classroom and thinking, what grade level is this for? What grade would I do this with? It's a question I hear time and time again, whether I'm presenting a live workshop, whether I'm sharing an activity with folks inside of the Sequencing Solution, or whether I'm chatting about different types of active music making inside of the Anacrusic Insiders Facebook group. No matter where I'm sharing music making ideas with children, the question is always asked, what grade level is this for? And today on the Anacrusic Podcast, episode number 124, we're going to talk all about how to answer that question with five better questions. I'm Anne Molesky, and I've helped music teachers just like you get more intentional in their classrooms through my trainings, curriculum, and tips shared on this podcast. The truth is, teaching music is hard. You have a bunch of kids to teach and not a lot of free time to figure out how. Feeling overwhelmed and frustrated is totally normal. But here's the good news. It only takes a few simple steps to flip the script. And although it may be simple, it's definitely not easy unless you have the right toolkit. So let's start tuning and transforming your music teacher life right now. The actionable steps you need to find the purpose, follow a sequence, and choose joy are right here. This is the Anacrusic Podcast. So I was talking to my good friend Victoria of victoriabuller.com and the Planning Binder, as we often do, about nerdy pedagogy things that we both love to chat about. And someday she will come back on the podcast, I'm sure, and talk about many things that we chat about on the regular. But anyway, we were having a conversation about some of the most common questions we get asked by teachers that we're working with, or teachers on Instagram, or anywhere kind of in the music education sphere. Like, what is the follow-up question that folks ask whenever we're sharing music making ideas? And I think you'd probably agree with this if you are the type who is in a community of teacher musicians, if you are going to workshops, if you're doing all those types of things. The question is always there after an activity. You know, you go to a workshop, you do the super duper cool thing that's really expansive. It's a super expansive framework. And you experience that as a teacher musician. And then you sit back and you think through how it would work in your classroom. And you think, well, wait, like, seriously, what grade level is this for? And, you know, when I'm thinking about new material, if I'm thinking about something I see in a workshop or something that I'm trying to kind of create on my own and thinking about where it falls with my kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, that's a legitimate question that I have. Like, this is not a bad question. This is a really, really good question. But when I'm thinking about what grade would I do this in, I'm thinking about my classroom. I'm thinking about the framework that I know would work for my kids in second grade because they've done all of these things, because they've had all of these experiences before we're getting to this activity. And because of that, the question, what grade level is this for, is a very different question depending on who you're talking to and what their time-bound, situational, and always changing situation is, right? So what grade level is this for could really be better characterized by five questions that I'm going to share with you right now. Okay, wait, that's a lie. So before we get into the questions that you should be asking that get more to the root of the issue when we ask what grade level is this good for, first I want you to think about not only the concept you're asking your kids to get into with any song, game, or activity, but the types of active music making you're asking them to do. If it's an activity that your kids need to be sitting at barred instruments for, and they've never kept a steady beat on barred instruments before, they're probably not going to be able to successfully, the first go round, sit down and improvise pentatonic melodies on the barred instruments. If they have never done some sort of vocabulary building exercise with their bodies in terms of movement and locomotor and non-locomotor movements, they're probably going to really struggle in coming up with, you know, a 16-beat form of movement or dance within a small group. If they haven't had all of these introductory experiences or these vocabulary building experiences with different forms of active music making, regardless of what the concept is that we're looking at, your students won't have that experiential knowledge. They won't have that kind of in their backpack to help them to be successful with whatever the activity looks like. So there's kind of two dimensions, if you will, when we talk about the types of things and whether or not we feel like our kids could do it here, there, or wherever, or what grade level in. And that has to do with what concept we're focusing on, which we're going to get to in just a minute. And it also has to do with the types of active music making or not experiences you're having in your classroom. So those are two pretty specific considerations to take into account as we're talking through this today. But let's go ahead and dive into those five questions. So the first thing that we need to think when we're looking at a song, game, or an activity is to think, what is the purpose? So no secrets here. It's all about purposeful, sequential, and joyful in Anacrusic and Ann Land. So you're thinking about, what is the intention behind this activity? If I see a really, really cool movement piece, is it something that is going to be specifically targeted toward this concept in my curricular sequence? Is it going to have to do with this particular rhythm pattern? Or is the song that we're using related to this specific pitch or this melodic pattern that we're doing? Or are we exploring form? Or are we thinking about different types of style and interpretation and all of those other musicality qualities that sort of transcend whatever rhythm, melody, or form we're working with? But regardless of where it is, what is that purpose? And then from there, that's the very first question. You know, what is the purpose? And then you can start to think, okay, well, if it does tie directly to a melodic example, if it does tie directly to a rhythmic example, or it does tie directly to form or expressivity or expression, rather, that would be the real word for that. If it ties directly to expression, then okay, great. And where does that usually happen? In my curricular sequence, in my scope and sequence, in my list of concepts from K to fifth grade. And the other thing to consider with that, and we're going to get to this in a minute, of course, as always, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're thinking, okay, and did I see this activity, or am I reading this activity or looking at this resource and thinking, oh, there's no way my kids can do that because of all of the other stuff that is a part of it. And if you're feeling that way, we're going to talk about how to pair that back in just a moment. So the very first question you need to ask yourself is, what is the purpose? Why am I doing this in my classroom? Why am I taking this chunk of time, or these several chunks of time over several lessons in the next couple of weeks, to spend my attention on this over all of the other things that I could choose to do? Because always, always, always remember, we see our kids for such a limited amount of time. We only have the opportunity to give them our very, very best. And whenever we choose to include something, we're choosing to exclude something else. So it's really important that we know that there's a purpose there. And musicality and expression is a beautiful purpose. And I know that if you go back and listen to some other podcast episodes about, figuring out what a song is good for, then you'll start to think to yourself, oh, like there's more to it. There's multiple concepts. There's multiple layers here that we can explore through this particular activity. So once you figure out what the intention is behind what you're going to be doing in your classroom, besides, oh, this is just super cool and my kids would love it, which is valid, but let's go a layer deeper, is thinking about what skills will your kids need to be able to have or have accomplished already to do this. So we talked about the purposeful, now we're getting into even more of the sequential bit. And it's thinking, okay, if this is a really, really cool activity for syncopa, have my kids done tons of steady beat practice? Have they had lots and lots and lots of experiences doing embodied music making with different syncopated patterns? Do I have other repertoire that I can use to support this activity? Do I have other modes of active music making that I can use to support this activity? The example I gave about having students sit at barred instruments and improvise pentatonic melodies, you know, having an understanding of the pentatone, having an understanding of steady beat, having an understanding of frameworks around creating simple songs together, doing things as a group before asking them to do things individually. There's always, always, always a list of activities or a list of skills, of behavioral objectives, of things that we can observe our students doing musically in our classroom through active music making that are required for whatever it is that we're doing next. Because of the way that our classroom builds from the simple to the complex, because of the way that our classroom is always built on this series of scaffolds and sequences and all of that kind of stuff. So it's not just saying, oh, it's for this rhythm. It's also like, well, wait, are they really ready to do this? Are they really ready to explore this curricular concept in this way of making music? And those are really, really important considerations to consider. That's a horrible way to say that. Those are really important things to consider before you dive into an activity and thinking about how it's going to be, how you're going to extract things from it curricularly in terms of different modes of active music making and literacy too. Okay, so far we said, instead of asking what grade level is this good for, let's ask, what is the purpose? What skills do my kids need to be able to show me they can do with some pretty good mastery before we do an activity like this? And then the third one is, where does it fall into my sequence? Now, this is very, very aligned with what is the purpose, but there's some other things that you should really, really think about that I've already kind of hinted at or legitimately given away at this point as we start to think about where it falls inside of your curricular sequence. And so what I mean by this is, again, alluding back to what we talked about, or what we alluded to rather at the beginning of today's podcast episode, is thinking about, okay, it's good for this concept, but it also involves all of this other stuff. And are they ready for it? For me, my children would not be able to do some very specific exercises on barred instruments until probably about fourth grade, or some very specific activities in terms of improvisation until like fourth grade. Because for me, a lot of that type of stuff happens always first with the voice and the body. So we're doing lots of things vocally, whether it's speech-based or singing. We're doing lots of things with body percussion. And then we're kind of transferring that, or legitimately or blatantly transferring that to those barred instruments, to those unpitched percussion instruments, to doing cooperative learning groups with movement and all of those types of things. Like, there has to be that adequate time for exploration in your own body before you move to that external source. So for me, there's certain things that I've seen workshop clinicians present and colleagues of mine do with their kids that are amazing in the end of second, third grade. And that is awesome. But I know for me, there's some things that I do before my kids are really, really fluent on barred instruments that it would be later for me because of that skill needed. And it's just because they do things a little bit different. They're a different teacher than I am. They have different kids than I do. And so those are all really, really important considerations. So it's not only about what is the purpose. It's, again, about all of those different skills that your kids might need in order to be successful with a certain activity.
Remember your first term of teaching? Learning all the skills that you don't get taught in music school? Managing a transitioning culture in your classroom? Finding out that you have to teach guitar this term? During those early years, we found out that leaning on a community of music educators was important, not only for building that knowledge in ourselves, but also maintaining enough sanity to serve the students right in front of us. Amused is a podcast centered around a community of music teachers. Between the four of us, we teach choir, band, orchestra, general, jazz, and marching band at the elementary through collegiate levels. We certainly don't have all the answers, but you're welcome to listen in while we try to find them. Join us while we work through the challenges of music teaching and celebrate the joy of bringing music making into the lives of young people. In each episode, you'll hear stories, both good and bad, about that week of teaching, and we'll try and tackle an issue that one of us is struggling with. Something we're all taught is that music brings people together, but being the only teacher in your subject at a site can be really isolating. We think everyone ought to be a part of a community, and you're welcome to come join ours. Episodes come out on Wednesdays during the school year, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts and at amusedcast.org.
So those are like that's like the part one. That's like the part one of the questions that we should be asking. The purpose, what skills do they need, and then where is it in the sequence? And then that should start to tell you where it is in that K-5 curricular sequence or whatever grade level it might be. So then the follow-up question to that, or the follow-up response, I should say, that I have heard before because of the very case that I just outlined for you in terms of I've seen folks say that they could do things with their second or third graders, that there's no way my second and third graders could do that. And that's often the response. Often the response is, well, there's no way my third graders could do that, or my kids, just period, couldn't do that. And so a couple of things to think about here. Number one, again, just to reiterate for the 8 millionth time already in the last 10 minutes, is that your kids are your kids, your classroom is your classroom, you are a different teacher than this teacher and that teacher and the other teacher, and that's a really important thing to remember. People focus on different types of music making in their classroom based on their own experiences and what is culturally appropriate for their school community. And people use different repertoire depending on all of those things as well, and their own influences and their own interests and what feels good in their classroom and for their kids. And so there's a lot of variables there that would make something work for this set of students versus that set of students. But that does not mean that when you see an activity, when you see something going on in an example classroom setting or in a book that you're reading, that you should immediately close the book and say, there's no way my kids can do that. Instead, there's a couple of different things you can do, and they're very, very much related. So the first step, regardless, no matter what direction you go, is to think about how you can pare things back to its simplest form. So, for example, if you saw someone do an absolutely beautiful arrangement of Alabama Gal with all of these different ostinati, and there's all of these different vocal parts and then some instrumentation and then also a movement component that is not the folk dance, and you're just like, how do you even get there? Maybe you start with the melody, and then once your kids have that, you add one ostinati. And for that activity, you took that inspiration and you thought to yourself, yes, my kids could get this far. In this grade, they could get this far because they haven't had experience with multiple ostinati. They haven't had experiences with multiple part singings going on with instrumentation and movement. Like, they're not ready for that yet. First, we have to start with being able to do part singing. Then we move to singing with instruments. Then we move to instruments and movement. And then maybe we're ready for that third variable. So it's pairing things back to a place that's really accessible for you as a teacher and to feel successful in terms of setting up those experiences for your kids. And then also, of course, to think about how that's going to impact your students and their success and their self-efficacy in your classroom. So if you see something that is super expansive that includes a lot of elements that you've never done before with your kiddos, that is not the starting point. That is like the pipe dream, not a pipe dream. I'm like full of putting my foot in my mouth today, but it's the end goal that might not happen with your fifth graders this year or next year or the third year. But if you have that in mind and you know these are the skills that eventually I want the kids before they leave me to have, it's something that you can build up to. But it's not just going to happen out of thin air. And so you can either go back and think, well, what could they do that can be inspired from what I'm looking at for this activity that I really, really want to do with my kids? How do I make that accessible for them? And it's going back to whatever the simplest essence of it all is, and then just adding the next step. And then finding another place with some other song, game, or activity to then do those steps that they were successful with, and then add the next step. And so on and so forth. So it's either recognizing that they don't have the skills for that yet, or they do have the skills for that now, and you need to go back and still think about the simplest essence of whatever it is that you're looking at and still build it that way, right? So the end goal is going to change depending on those skills that your kids need to have to get to that end goal, to get to that big picture, to get to that super cool thing that you want to do. And you have to think, okay, do they have all of those skills? Well, if they have all of them except this one, you might get there. But if they don't have more than just that basic form, and I know I'm speaking in many, many generalities, so hopefully this is making sense, but if they only have like the most basic form, like that they're only used to singing a song together in unison, then it's time to add an ostinato and call that a huge win when it happens successfully. So thinking about how to peel it back to adapt to your classroom to where they are now, and then part two of that is thinking about how you can move your kids closer and closer and closer to whatever that big behavioral behavioral objective or purpose or big picture vision looks like from that activity and how it fits into your classroom overall. So there's a lot of stuff to think about when it comes to what grade level is this good for. And it has everything to do with what the purpose of the activity is for you, because you might see it presented in a way that is emphasizing something different, and maybe you can extract this pattern instead of that pattern or whatever. So it's up to you what you think the purpose is in your music classroom. What skills do your kids need to be able to exhibit in order to be successful at this? Where does it fall into your overall curricular sequence? And that can help you, after you've thought about those first two things, help you determine the third and think about, okay, well, maybe we could do this in third grade this year. And then no matter where you put it, it's not just like copy paste. It's scaling back and then kind of moving things over and rebuilding. So that's the way that we need to think about this. We need to think about how things can kind of go back to the beginning, go back to basics, and build up to be a picture that is inspired again by what we saw, but may take a different form. And that's okay. And that is when we know that we have been super successful with creating experiences for our kids that allow them to have some student-led experiences and develop that lifelong musicianship. So I hope this was helpful. I hope that instead of thinking what grade level is this for and stopping there, because it's still a good question. Let me reiterate that. It's still a good question. Just understand and realize, which I'm sure many of you do, that it's so incredibly varied depending on the teaching scenarios that you're talking about and all of these other factors that have absolutely nothing to do with the teacher and the kid, but the teacher and the kid in conjunction, and then like all kinds of other stuff as well, right? So think about these other questions instead when you're thinking, okay, that's a cool activity. I want to do that with my students. What grade do I put it in? Instead, think, what's the purpose? What are the skills? Where do I put it into my sequence? So I hope this was helpful, guys. Let me know if you have any questions. Hit me up on Instagram, and I will see you next time.
The Anacrusic Podcast is a proud member of the Music Teacher Development Podcast Network. The Muted Network provides support in the form of audio on-demand programming designed by and for music educators. You can find more information about our network at mutedpodcast.com.
Thanks for spending this little pocket of your day with me. I know music teachers are super strapped for time, so be sure to check out all the resources on anacrusic.com for today's episode. Don't forget to click subscribe wherever you're listening to today's podcast so you don't miss an episode of Tap. That way, you'll be notified each and every week when a new episode's live. And if you want even more tips and tricks delivered to your inbox, like a little love note from me to you, make sure you sign up for the Anacrusic newsletter and you'll be the first to know all the things. Also, if you are feeling today's episode, take a screenshot and tag me on Instagram and Facebook. And I'd love you forever if you take a hot minute and leave a review. See you next time.